Hello, this is astrologer Shelley Antine, and I'm about to give you my take on the coming full moon in Leo, the polarity of the moon in Leo to the sun in Aquarius. So that is going to be having our feelings and our instinctive responses to our environment in the fiery area that has a great deal to do with our need to express the self and creative self, but also just the personality self, and to be seen, acknowledged, and get some attention as well. And the moon in Leo is very known for needing people to be loyal. They are actually rather forgiving, and if somebody is willing to apologize, but they have high expectations of how people will treat them. Let's put it that way. So this is where the moon is growing full. And of course the sun, our outer expression, and again the dynamic creative self, is in a sign that has to do with freedom. And so it's also a sign that wants to be in the sense of an authority, have an opinion of their own. You know, the Aquarian can be quite opinionated, but not that it doesn't have to be bad, you know, but it's kind of not easy to have two strong energies that have strong need for some sort of self-recognition and self-acceptance, and to be at odds with each other in the manner in which that looks. And that's what we have here. So we also have the moon in a sign that deals with, you know, the more romantic aspects of life. Leo is the sign of romance, whereas Aquarius is, you know, the cool, friendly, I'll be there if I want to be there kind of a personality. So again, that's your polarity that needs to be sort of brought into some sort of alignment. And so let's see, how is that going to look? Plus, you know, we're getting much closer to our eclipses. And I will tell you that I did the talk on the eclipses of 2023 for the Asheville Friends of Astrology. And it was, of course, it's always fascinating and interesting. But we're going to have our first lunar eclipse in the fixed signs. And it'll be in Scorpio, and it'll be kind of square because, you know, we're looking at a 16-degree moon in Leo. And the eclipsed moon is going to be at 14 degrees of Scorpio. So some of what is going on in terms of relationships, because that's what we get to have to deal with, you know, whether we're going to have a different relationship experience or whether we're going to be able to patch up any of the places that need patching up. So have a look at this one and the full moon that will be the Virgo full moon also, so that we will be getting closer and closer to knowing how the eclipsed moon is going to manifest for us. So here again, these are the polarity issues. And bringing them together, there are some planets that want to help out with that. And one of the main planets that wants to help out is Mars in Gemini. Well, gee, it's finally not on 8 degrees when this February 5th full moon comes in. It is, you know, been on 8 degrees of Gemini for so very, very long that it you know, even though it was direct, people still weren't moving forward. Well, Mars is at 11, Gemini, on the day of the Leo full moon. And it is in orb and approaching both the trine to the sun, which is a helpful energy flow, and so is the sextile, helpful opportunity flow that the Mars will be making to the moon. So what this suggests is that the more dialogue you can engage in about differences, if there's willingness to dialogue, because Mars is action and would be very willing in Gemini, which is communication, that would be one of the things that could be helpful in terms of this polarity here. However, we have the planet Uranus now direct in Taurus. We're in full direct motion now. And that is square. Both the Sun and the Moon have just come off the exact square to Uranus and Taurus. So now Uranus rules Aquarius, so the Sun and the desire for change and unique things is a little bit more comfortable with Uranus, even if it is in Taurus. But the Moon in Leo isn't. The Moon in Leo, this can also suggest that there are very different values going on among people at this point, and very difficult for us. It seems these years have been almost impossible for us to dialogue about differences and come to the center a little bit and allow for other people to have the difference or even be supportive of it in certain circumstances, you see. So the Uranus square is showing us the need for us to become a bit more enlightened about the energies themselves and how they're affecting us, both physically and in the world around us. So here is a topic that may be going on also. We have a lot of things happening on the planet, a lot of incredible geophysical manifestations going on, you know, and there is a polarized attitude, you know, towards, you know, the instinctive need to maintain the kingdom that I have built. Is also, Leo has the kingdom, you know, I'm safe with my kingdom like this, and then, you know, this other person is coming along with these new ideas that could upset the apple cart, and so coming together to actually create things that will help us deal with what we're looking at on the planet. It's hard when people are polarized and you can't get them to work together for a common goal, you see. So, you know, the longer we wait, the worse it's going to get, as we've noticed. I think if you haven't noticed by now, I'm like amazed you haven't been looking at that kind of news, I guess. But one of the things that's also happening that is kind of a difficult challenge during this Leo full moon of romance is that Mars in Gemini is in a square aspect to Venus in Pisces. Now, when Venus went into Pisces, you know, we would have talked about that already in a weekly astrology forecast. She is going to be very ethereal. She's very romantic, and sometimes to her detriment, because she likes to paint people and things in a fantasy of her own device, so that she's giving maybe her love to people who really don't warrant that love, in the sense of not being exactly what it looks like. But Mars is in that logical thinking, I want information, I want conversation mode, which isn't exactly a comfort zone for Venus in this sort of, you know, it's very like in an ivory tower or something in a way. And so this is an uncomfortable position for this energy. However, the Venus in Pisces is working with the Uranus and Taurus energy. So she is kind of in that mode, as she is in terms of finance, and this can also be an issue with Mars. I want logical answers here, and Venus wants to feel out the psychic ideas about how we should spend. Mars wants it on paper. And so maybe Venus is trying to help look at some of the ways finance can change for individuals, but also in the outer world culture. We are in a moment where Mercury is moving to and very close already to being joined with Pluto in Capricorn. Now, this is being mitigated a little bit by Mercury being sextile Neptune first. But when we get to that Mercury-Pluto conjunction, we are looking at a mind that's like a steel vise. You know, it's like not, you know, it's going to be really intently focused on a certain path, on a certain structure, on a certain belief about how things have to be. So we're going to be seeing that also. And meanwhile, you know, Eris, the goddess of discord, is also going to be an exact square Mercury is going to make. So the cage rattling, believe me, is going to go on, particularly in the issue of women's rights, I think, because Jupiter in Aries is conjunct Juno in Aries, and it's moving towards the conjunction to Juno exact. And Juno is conjunct Chiron, you know, the teacher, the wounded healer. Also, in Aries, they want to do something. They want to get going already. And you have Jupiter in an exact opposition to Ceres, you know, who is the fierce mother, and she's looking at the legal aspects and relationship aspects as she is in Libra, but she's retrograde right now. So she's not, things are not moving as fast, let's say, as some people would like to see. And that's been something that's been going on a little bit, especially after having planets move direct, but things just still weren't as fast happening as quickly. People weren't, you know, participating. There was disappointment. And so we're also coming out of that. For the Leo full moon. Moon in Leo would be more, you know, the lioness. You know, she gets up and runs when she's going to find food. But the rest of the time, you know, she's okay lying there, basking in the sun, maybe having little cuddles with the lion, you know, playing with her cubs. She's not a dynamic energy. So that's, you know, the instinctive feelings of the full moon. And the electric Uranian energy of the sun in Aquarius, not necessarily, again, living up to the expectation of this sun that wants, again, to make change and get things going. So we still have our south nodes in Scorpio and our north node in Taurus, and these nodes are going to be, again, part of half of the eclipses, and both lunar eclipses will be in this axis as we get closer and closer to them shifting into south node Libra, north node Aries, but they're still there. So we're still looking with that south node in Scorpio at the issues of power. You know, how are the power people handling their power? I mean, this is what you're looking at every day, right? And how can we come to a point, again, of like some, instead of the turmoil that seems to go on around all of this, can we come to a place that where we can be grounded and be feel peaceful and, you know, move into a mode that feels like it's okay now? You know, I'm really not there yet is basically the issue. And this full moon has again, if people would dialogue, it has the ability to help us get there, but we'll see, because Mars in Gemini can also be heated rhetoric that comes at people. And in the case of Venus and Pisces, she'll feel that kind of energy coming at her. And, you know, this Jupiter is not far in Aries from being sextile to Mars in Gemini. 5 degrees, we'll allow that. And Mars is an exact sextile to Juno in Aries. So people are out there absolutely pushing forward to try to get some of the agendas of equal partnership for the feminine energies. And, you know, that's an issue that if we could ever bring that back. I was reading a really fabulous book called The Woman with the Alabaster Jar. A lot of people read that back when it came out, but I wasn't really interested. And it's about Mary Magdalene and bringing the divine feminine back, because apparently she was there until 500 AD as a partner of Jesus instead of a prostitute. So these are the kinds of, you know, layers that people have been brought up with for close to 2,000 years, that there isn't an equality between the male and the female. So it requires the energy necessary to get it to happen, but, you know, going to war over it is also not a great idea. There has to be a better way. So anyway, that's your full moon in Leo. See how it works for you. And again, there are these helpful planets, and things can be seen if one goes into the spiritual connection and is able to see clearly as well. So I wish you all the best, as always, and I'll say goodbye for now. Thank you.